Mark 1, verse 21 to 42. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Amen.
2 weeks ago, we all encountered a lot of change. Not only was it the first service of our new Craigavel Church, but there was much more change even than that, as we also had a new government. New MPs, a new cabinet, and a new prime minister. And immediately they were elected, people began saying, "What now? What are they going to do? How are they going to sort the things that need sorted in our country?" Over the election campaign, some things were said about their plans, and in particular, a manifesto was produced setting out their priorities for government. But that was just words. What about deeds? Well, we've begun to see some deeds, and we have seen a lot more intentions, a lot more words contained in the King's speech this week. But it's by what our new government does, rather than what they say, that they will be judged. One of the reasons why many politicians have lost people's trust is because they've said many things and then not done them. Because of broken promises, because of failure to deliver what they said they would. Words are one thing. Words are easy. It's what you do that matters, whether your deeds live up to the words you have spoken. 2 weeks ago, as we started to look at Mark's gospel, we saw that Jesus said some quite staggering words. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God, God's kingship, his rule and reign. The people of Israel had been waiting for this. For hundreds of years, prophets had said that God would do a new thing, that a Messiah would come. And as they had waited over these many years, some false messiahs had arisen, had let them down, and disappeared. But now this man Jesus said, "This is it. The time has come." Really? After all these hundreds of years, how could they believe him? How were they to know that these were not just words? How could they be sure that he wouldn't prove to be a big disappointment, just as some others had been? Mark's is the shortest of the four Gospels, and the story it tells races from scene to scene really quickly. We've already seen that Jesus called four fishermen, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, to leave their families and their work and to follow him. Now we read that they went to Capernaum, where Jesus taught in the synagogue with a sort of authority that no one had ever heard before. He was challenged by a man with an evil spirit, and he cast it out and delivered him. He went to the home of Simon and Andrew, where he healed Simon's mother-in-law, who'd been in bed with a fever. And then the whole town gathered at the door, and he healed many people. He went away by himself to pray, and when the disciples tracked him down, he told them they needed to move into all of Galilee to proclaim the good news of God's reign. And so he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues, casting out evil spirits, and healing a man who had leprosy. And the crowds flocked to him. And that is only chapter one. There was certainly a lot going on in Galilee. Can you imagine yourself as someone living there with all this happening in your community? What would you think was happening? I'm sure people couldn't talk of anything else. Who is the man who is doing all this? He's the young carpenter from Nazareth, Mary and Joseph's eldest boy. Hasn't there always been something a bit different about him? Remember back 30 years ago when he was born, there was a lot of gossip then about his parents, and then they were away in Egypt for a while. Hasn't he always been just a slightly strange boy, not quite like the others? But now he's speaking with such authority. Now he's healing people and casting out evil spirits and drawing huge crowds to hear his teaching. Who is this Jesus? The time had come. The kingdom of God was indeed near because the King had come. Jesus didn't just speak words. He demonstrated their truth. Why did he perform the miracles he did? Well, of course, we know that he had huge compassion for the people he encountered who were in need. And we know because John's Gospel tells us that Jesus actually performed far more miracles than we have written down. So many, says John, that if they were all written down, the whole world wouldn't have room for all the books. But the basic reason why Jesus performed miracles was to demonstrate his power and authority, to back up his words with his actions. The time has come. God's kingdom is arriving, he said. And how did the people know that that was true? Because they saw it happen. Because as they looked at him and saw what he did, they saw what the kingdom of God looked like. Matthew's gospel tells us that when John the Baptist was in prison, he sent some of his disciples to Jesus to ask, "Are you really the one we've been expecting? Are you really the Messiah, the Son of God? Or should we be expecting someone else?" And Jesus replied, "Tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Look at what you see, John. This is what the kingdom of God looks like, and it is here because the King has come." The kingdom of God, God's kingship, his rule and reign, did indeed come as Jesus began his ministry. Tom Wright, the eminent theologian, describes it as the living God on the move. Jesus brought the rule and reign of God from heaven to earth. He demonstrated God's rule and reign in new and dramatic ways. He didn't just speak words. He showed in his actions that he was the King, that he is the King, and that in him the kingdom of God has come into this hurting and troubled world. So let's pause there for a few moments as we sing again, "Jesus is King, and I will extol him." So let's look again at what we read in today's passage. Jesus went into the synagogue in Capernaum and taught, and the people were astonished. It wasn't just that he was a particularly good teacher. He was a teacher like they had never heard before. The priests and scribes, the teachers of the law, always taught by saying, "As Moses said," or "As Rabbi so-and-so said." But here was a man, not one of the recognized teachers, just a carpenter to trade, who on his own authority was telling them what God's will is, telling them what the kingdom of God is like, calling on them to repent and believe the good news he was telling them. They had never heard anyone speak with authority like this. And with that same authority, Jesus spoke words of healing. While he was teaching in the synagogue, a man confronted him and cried out. A man described in the NIV as being possessed by an evil spirit, described in the Message as being deeply disturbed. Now, of course, we know that our knowledge of illness, and particularly of mental illness, has changed out of all recognition since the time of Jesus. And I think there is no doubt that some of the people described in the Bible as being possessed by evil spirits would now be recognized as being mentally ill. But I also believe that it is possible for people to be afflicted by demonic influences. And maybe that explains some of the most horrific acts that human beings can descend to. Maybe that explains the extreme evil that we see in despots and dictators and their acolytes. It happens. And I wonder if this man was indeed possessed by evil, because he shouted, "I know who you are, Jesus. You are the Holy One of God, and you have come to destroy us." And he was right. The evil powers knew who Jesus was, although the religious leaders did not. Jesus has authority over every power of evil, and he had come to destroy them. And so when he said to the evil spirit, "Be quiet and come out of him," the man shook and shrieked and was free. And the people were amazed. A new teacher who speaks with authority, who even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him. And then at the home of Simon and Andrew, a much less dramatic healing took place, just as much less dramatic healings take place today. Simon's mother-in-law had a fever, and Jesus just quietly took her hand and helped her to stand up, and the illness left her. And then the whole town came and gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many people of many different diseases. The message says he cured their sick bodies and tormented spirits. Tom Wright says that Jesus had come to rescue people, both nations and individuals, from the destructive forces that enslaved them. So whether it was shrieking demons, a woman with a fever, or simply whatever diseases people happened to suffer from, Jesus dealt with them all with the same gentle but deeply effective authority. Encountered by a man with leprosy, most people would have backed off quickly. In fact, what was called leprosy in those days covered a range of skin conditions, of which leprosy itself was one. It was greatly feared because it was highly infectious, and those who had it had to live outside the towns in special colonies and keep far away from other people. But Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. It might have been the first human touch that this man would have felt for years. And he said to him, "Be clean." And there and then, the leprosy was gone. Can you imagine what that must have been like for that man? He had lived in total hopelessness, loneliness, and despair. And now Jesus had completely transformed his life. Authority over the worst afflictions that can destroy people's lives. Authority over the most feared illnesses. The king had come, and nothing was the same for those who encountered him. The kingdom of God was here, and it is still here. The kingdom of God came into the world with the coming of Jesus the King. The rule and reign of God is present in Jesus and those who respond to him. But yet it has not fully come. Its full coming is still future. One day the King will come again, and then the kingdom of God will come in all its fullness. Then, as the book of Revelation tells us, the dwelling of God will be with people and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That day is coming. But the kingdom of God is here now because the King has come. He demonstrated his authority in teaching, in healing, and in his power over the forces of evil. He demonstrated his authority in every area of human need. Repent and believe, he said. What do you need Jesus to do for you today? He is the King, and he has all authority in heaven and on earth, authority to deal with whatever it is that is troubling you today, whether sickness or anxiety or anything else. King Jesus has authority to deal with that. And so let's take a moment of silence to bring to him what is troubling us today, that we might know the touch of his power and his love. Lord Jesus, King of heaven and earth, we pray that you would touch each one of us this day in whatever way we need to know your touch, your authority, your love and power. So come, in Jesus' name, amen.